everyone, and thank you for joining us today for the webinar, The Impact of Employing Guest-Trained Interior Crew in the Industry. I would like to introduce our esteemed panel of guests, and thank you everyone for joining us today. We have Louise Overeem. She is the Interior Department for YPI Crew. Hi, Louise.
Hi, Rhea. Thanks for having me today. Just to tell you a bit about myself, obviously I work for YPI Crew. I'm an interior recruitment consultant and I deal with stewards and stewardesses from day one in the industry up until they've got about 4 years experience and they're just about to step up into a chief stew position. And I'll have been there for 4 years this week, so it's my 4 year anniversary as well.
Congratulations. What a way to celebrate by coming on this panel. And then we have Chloe Collette. She is the captain's department for YPI Crew.
Yes, so I haven't been with YPI as long as Louise. I've actually been with YPI just a year, but I've been in crew placement for over 22 years. I fell into crew placement in 1998 with Peter Insels, and actually Fiona, who's on this panel, and I were colleagues for many, many years. Following on that, I then became the manager for crew placement at Edmiston Crew. Following Edmiston's crew, the purchase by YPI at the end of December 2019, I then joined YPI. Here we go. So I deal essentially with the senior officers and captains at YPI, but view my sort of past history, I'm very much aware of what happens on the interior as well.
Thank you so much. Welcome. Fiona Mariso, Senior Charter Broker, Northrop & Johnson.
Yes, that's right. And it's a great pleasure to be here today. So I've been with Northrop & Johnson for 8 years. Prior to that, I was in various different companies. I've been doing this job for about 30 odd years. Probably shouldn't mention the figure. For 4 years, I was president of MEBA. And it was through MEBA that I was introduced to guest at the outset. So I've been a keen supporter of the program right from the very beginning. So that's why it's so important for me to be here today.
Well, thank you very much for joining us and bringing your experience. And we have Emma. I would attempt to say your last name, but I would probably murder it. You are interior crew, a chief stewardess out of the UK. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me here today. I've been in the industry for just over 10 years now, in chief stew for about 7 of those, and have had the privilege of being able to be a part of the guest program and have really thrived and flourished from being able to be attend the workshops, and I'm very interested and enthusiastic about how the guest is influencing the interior departments on board our boats and that it's becoming more recognized in the industry.
Thank you very much for joining us. Your opinion is very important, of course. Esther Delamar, she is the Senior Recruitment Manager for Hill Robinson. Welcome.
Yes, hello. Hello to all. So yeah, I have been with Hill Robinson for almost 8 years now. And before that, I used to be with the Crew Network. So I've been a recruitment agent since 15 years now. At Hill Robinson, I do actually deal with all the positions around the board. So it could be captains, could be deckhands, could be engineers, anything to do with recruitment, obviously. And I do have a lot of interest for the interior crew, especially. And in my previous career, I used to be working in human resources. So I took that experience when entering the yachting industry, which I think is quite useful to have as well at the same time.
And we have Captain Brendan O'Shaughnessy. How are you?
Thanks, Rhea. Thank you, Jerry. Good afternoon. As per the introduction, I'm a yacht captain. Also do management consultancy for owners and their representatives. And I think what links me here is I'm the son of a hotelier, the husband of a hotel professional. I'm coming to you from our own hospitality venue and believe that when I describe my own role as captain, I am a hotel manager with a fine water feature around me. So I really believe the focus of yachting is through the guest interaction that we are all a part of. And that's what brings me here today. Thank you, Rhea.
Thank you very much. And last but not least, Joey Mean. She is, of course, the IAMI guest director. Now, what I would like from you is if you could not only tell us a little bit about yourself, but as well let everybody out there that isn't familiar with GUEST know what is this program, what is it about, and why is it necessary?
Thank you, Ria, and thank you very much for everybody to be joining us today. I'm really, really thrilled. My name's Joey Mean. I've been director of the GUEST program since its inception. It took about 8 years to build. We used about 40 plus professionals to put the program together, quite a complex mapping based on the fact that we mapped over with the land-based hospitality training programs, where we realized there was an awful lot of crossover, but our industry isn't used to going to college for 3 or 4 years. So we had to develop something that was short courses. So that was something that we started in 2008 and we launched in 2013. But my whole career has been within the training and development focus. I was running a training school in the UK, an RYA, Royal Yachting Association training school in the UK for 10 years prior to arriving on the French shores in 2002. I was asked to join what was Freedom Yachting at the time, a training company in Antibes. And that was then moved on to Blue Water. So I was with them for about a year before I set up my own business, Ask Joey. And strangely, at that time, I was dealing with deck and tech. So my role was part of the yacht qualifying panel with MCA. I joined the council for PYA, Professional Yachting Association, and set up a business that basically helped to guide career paths for the industry and help an awful lot of crew, thousands and thousands of crew. And so many of the captains now, I'm very proud to say I helped in those early days. So, I think I've understood the industry very well from the training and development side, what's needed, what's not, and how it operates. And I'm really thrilled that the guest program was basically something that fell on my lap because of the feedback from Interior Department, who kind of put their head up and said, hang on, what about us? And they were quite right to do so. In my opinion, the industry's onboard cohorts are dependent on each other, deck, tech, and interior, and each department is as important as the other. Without one, you can't function as a yacht for the hospitality, as Brendan quite rightly says, capacity. So from my point of view, I put all my efforts and energy into developing and looking at what we needed to do for the industry, for the interior department. And that's basically been my life since 2008, is literally pushing this program through with an awful lot of support and help and encouragement from the industry. And so we're basically at a point now where 2 years ago, the International Association of Maritime Institutions took the governance of GUEST over, which was a really exciting move from our point of view. We're kind of now under the umbrella of the big brother, I always think. IAMI is the acronym. Basically, they are, they've been around for about 100 years. It's an association that facilitates discussion and review on maritime education, and that's maritime right across the board. So the members are all the maritime colleges, universities, schools. We have affiliate membership, which includes the regulators and primarily UK based, but that said, it's now getting far more worldwide. We've got training schools all over the world. We deal with other flags, not just UK. So the association itself is growing, which is very exciting. And since they've taken over GUEST, their reach has got further because we've got about 23, 24 schools now under the GUEST program, and they are based literally around the world. It's growing quickly and it's very exciting. The GUEST program, I just want to explain about a little bit about the program and how the accreditation works. I think that's something that people don't understand is this isn't a turn up and get a certificate course. You have to pass the training. The schools are accredited under IAMI, so they're accredited for standards of training, standards of training delivery, and assessment criteria, which is something that's monitored constantly through various different auditing processes that IAMI have in place. So it's a very measured and I was going to say controlled, but it is a measured environment where we know that the training that's been delivered is at the right standard. That wasn't always the case, but it certainly is now. And so I'm quite proud and happy that it's now under an umbrella that has that mechanism in place to keep that kind of standard in check. So, yeah, that's the guest program.
Thank you very much, Dory. Emma, I'm going to go to you just because, you know, as a chief stewardess, you are more often than not the one that is bringing in the junior stews and trying to work with them. What do you find are the biggest issues that you face as a chief stewardess with these junior stews coming in? Do they have enough training? Do they know the things that they need to do without thinking about it? Because I know that when you're in a busy charter season, you're looking at 18-hour days, possibly, not a lot of sleep, it's nonstop. These kind of things, they have to be done without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
Do they have enough training?
To be honest, I'd probably say no. And that's something that, as you know, an HOD, head of the department sort of thing, when I'm employing people, it's either one or two things. I'm looking for one, to have a really enthusiastic attitude is massive, and also it's mostly a positive sometimes for them to have little experience, because then they can come on board, we can put them through our training schemes, which I've kind of adapted from the experience that I've had, so that we can make sure that they are able to maintain the standards that we have on board. I think it's a real issue, but it's something that's being corrected in the industry, where stewardesses either have just been left and thrown in the deep end without any instruction and no nurturing environment in those really essential beginning learning stages, where they need to be, you know, instructed and nourished, so that they can feel confident in their job, and so that they can be left in the guest areas and they feel that they know what they're doing, and they're also not going to make as many mistakes. And also on the back of that, that the guests or owners feel that they're confident in their crew and that the job is being performed to the highest standard.
Thank you. Now, Brendan, I'm going to go to you, because as a captain, you know, you stated about the hospitality aspect of it. When you take a look at your crew, nobody's going to remember the captain necessarily unless something dreadful goes wrong, because the captain, they assume the captain is a captain for a reason. He's going to be taking them where they need to go. Who do they remember the most when they're on charter or it is an owner operated? Who do they remember the most?
I think, thank you, Rhea. I'll come back specifically to the question, but I think in an environment we all understand is, if you're about to get on a long haul flight, the complexity of that long, do you remember when we did long haul flights? The complexity of a long haul flight is immense. The ground engineers, the flight planning, the simulator training for the captain, the co-captain, every little thing. Who do you remember, Rhea?
Stewardess.
You remember the cabin attendant?
Yeah.
And the quality of how your seat was laid out. Yeah. If you're traveling with children, were they attendant? Did they come back for a second drink? That's maybe. That's your memory. Yachting, just scale it up. It's the exact same. Yes, the chief engineer is up till 4 o'clock in the morning getting the evac system back running. Fantastic. He is absolutely part of the service team, because without that working, the service team, who do you remember? That interaction, that human interaction. So absolutely, spot on. It is our service people that are the rest of us in yachting are there to make them look better.
And do you find as a captain that there is enough resources and time spent on training the interior crew compared to the rest?
And your other departments have base levels that are, you must do it. They are headache tablets. You must take them. You must achieve these certain levels because it is defined. There is a lot more on hotel side that is harder to define, and also, as Emma pointed out so well, varies yacht to yacht, owner to owner. So it needs to be tailored for that exact environment. I think from a corporate point of view, if you, the yacht you, view training and skills development as a budgetary item and not an investment decision to increase the value of the yacht's performance, you're never going to get there. This is not only asking yacht owners to fund the adventure at a higher level. This is to build this culture where captains and crew, they have to see that they need to invest their time and their application so that their development is in line with expectations and they are not going to be get left behind. I think we're a long way from the military, but there's the soldier's creed. You do not rise to the level of your expectations, you fall to the level of your training. And I think when everyone's tired in yachting, that creed is absolutely in place.
Thank you, Brennan. Fiona, I'm going to ask you, as a senior charter broker, how do you find when you've had charter guests on board, what is the most feedback? If you've had unhappy charter guests, what is that feedback? Is it about the crew or is it about, you know, what is the one thing that arises the most?
Oh, it very much depends on the yacht and on the client. If there have been issues, technical issues, then and they've been dealt with efficiently and everything's been explained and everybody's felt safe, then you know they will praise the handling of that and the charter will be saved. I've had charters where the principal's wife just doesn't click with the chief stewardess and there's not an awful lot you can do. In that particular case, the captain pulled back the chief stewardess and put the second stewardess in front of them as their primary point of contact. It's all dependent on how it's handled, whether it's a technical issue or a crew issue. And that's led by the captain. And as with almost everything on a yacht, the captain's philosophy will determine the guest's experience at the end of the day.
And do you believe that, you know, interior training really will help that experience along if there is issues that arise? The more training that you have, the more capable you are of dealing with any situation that arises?
Absolutely. This is why I'm very much, I'm very supportive of this program and any training program for the interior crew who have that, have the closest relationship with the guests generally. If the crew understand the culture of their guests, and don't forget on charter, you deal with all sorts of different cultures and you never know what you're going to get over the course of a season. So if you're prepared for most eventualities, most cultures, you can deal with it with confidence and self-assurance, you will do a better job and your client will have a better experience. And for me, the importance of the guest program, and I've seen it in action and I've been on yachts that have been guest trained, and you see it straight away. It's not about how well you fold a napkin or if you know how to set a table. It's about how do you deal with a guest? Do you know how to address a certain rank? Or do you know how to celebrate Jewish Passover? Or the fact that a Russian doesn't smile doesn't mean that he's unhappy. All these little nuances that are cultural, and you've got a crew that understand, been trained, and if they don't know, they know how to deal with that. If there's an issue, they've been trained on how to deal with that. And all these things make for a seamless experience. And that for me is the primary importance of the guest program.
Thank you. Esther, as a senior recruitment manager over at Hill Robinson, when you are recruiting crew, what is it exactly, interior crew, what is it exactly that you look for?
Well, as I would certainly, even for junior students, I always look to see if they have kind of invested in something, in some kind of training from the start. I think that's very important. And I do always look at the CV, have a quick look through and see, okay, she has done, it could be just a service training, it could be an introduction to stewardess course, it could be for the more senior crew, it could be actually more management training. But I do definitely look into that a lot. And then when then interviewing the candidates, I will also kind of try and question which school have you done and how did you feel? Do you think it was beneficial and all these kind of things? So I would definitely always try and find out, how much effort they're ready to put into training, especially.
Now, if you had, say, for example, an interior student that had been working, for example, a year or two, whereas you had a very junior student come in but had taken the guest program, which would you prefer?
Difficult one. That's almost impossible to answer, because it's also the personality, which is definitely very, very important. Like Emma was saying, the personality, the willingness and all of that sometimes springs out. You can have a very senior girl with lots of experience, but she doesn't really come across as so motivated or anything like that. And then you might have a junior with just basic, maybe a very good hospitality background, who just you feel like, wow. So yes, I might in that case maybe try and push for the junior one to the chief steward and say, well, have a look at this candidate. I know she might not tick all the boxes in terms of experience, but she really interviewed well and she's capable of putting the effort in and she's willing to invest in all these kind of things. So yeah, it all depends, but a lot of it to do with personality, obviously, as well.
Chloe, I'm heading on over to you. Don't worry, Louise, I'm coming to you. Chloe, as captain's department for YPI crew, what are your opinions in regards to the interior crew and the importance of training?
Well, I'm also a very strong advocate for interior training. With regards to the captain's view on interior training, there's nothing better for a captain to know and to feel confident that their interior department is able to cope with guests, able to cope with their owners. And if they have a solid team, a solid trained team, that takes one hassle away from the captain. And I'm sure that Brendan will agree. And as the interior team are actually the front face of the yacht, and they are the ones who are facing the clients, they're facing the owners, I think it's essential that that those crew at least have the minimum qualifications and are trained in how to deal with all the different situations that they can have on board. I am always amazed on the exterior side. Very often when we have candidates, they will ask, you know, what is there a training budget when they ask about the position? And on the interior side, it seems absent. Our junior stewardesses or even senior stewardesses seem to not even ask this question. Is there a training budget? What, you know, where can I go, you know, with this position? Where will it take me? And I think that that's one of the elements that we should, you know, as an industry concentrate on, that anyone who's entering the industry should be able to see long-term in this industry and understand that everything that they are doing, they might at the end, if they don't stay in the industry, have some transferable skills. All our deckhands, when they come in, they will ask, can I do a license? Can I do this? Will I be able to do my office of the watch? Will I be able to do my chief mates? And for captains as well, we have captains, our master 3000s, who are thinking, great, well, will this owner allow me to do a master unlimited course? Where am I going? Whereas on the interior side, sometimes, you know, we might hear, oh, well, we might be able to do this type of course or whatever, but it's not included in a brief for recruitment. And it's not, the candidates aren't asking it as well. So I think in moving forward, that's something that needs to be addressed. It's not just our side of the industry as recruiters requesting something, but that in a candidate's mind, they also decide that this is something they want to be doing, and that this learning more skills is not only advantageous for the yacht, but it's advantageous for themselves as their own personal development. And it's in the skills of personal development that they will be able to be their best on board.
Thank you, Chloe. Louise, as part of the interior department for YPI crew, how do you feel that training makes the interior crew feel? What does it do for the interior crew, proper training?
I think it really gives them a bit of more confidence, especially with junior crew coming in. They're not always familiar with certain terms. So they see, you know, heads in beds, day heads, you know, really basic things. And they can feel like they spend a lot of time going, well, what is that? What is that? And that kind of knocks your confidence. So I feel that so they're doing the training gives you like a really good foundation for yourself on like learning terms, learning phrases, perhaps, you know, laundry, reading laundry tags or service styles, you know, and that kind of really builds your confidence going in. And I think as well, sort of like doing the training as well gives you an idea of like the whole boat, because it's very easy to think that, you know, when you're sort of like at the bottom, that it doesn't really matter what you're doing because you don't understand every layer of how you doing laundry does actually affect everyone else on board. You know, you can't build something on weak foundations, like everyone's really important. And I think that once you understand that going in and you do have that confidence, and it really helps you feel valued as well as part of the crew. And I think, you know, and appreciated. And I think that's, you know, really powerful thing for a crew to have going in.
Well, this question is for anyone really. You know, in the past, you know, as we've heard already through this webinar, there hasn't been a lot of attention. And as Chloe pointed out, when crew go in, whether it be a deckhand or an engineer, they are asking what the training budget is for their certain job type, or if there is time allowed for training. Why is it in the industry that interior crew haven't been looked upon? Because you would think a lot of the people that are entering the industry as junior interior crew, they're coming in at 18 or 19 years old with not a lot of life experience. So they're leaving home, literally, and jumping onto a boat. There's a necessity for them to be taught something about the big wide world and how to conduct themselves. They are coming to serve other people on board that yacht. Is that something that should be more important or should be looked at closer?
I have noticed over the last couple of years, some of the private yachts that I take in now do actually have a training budget. Not as many as you'd think, maybe sort of, you know, 5% of them or something. But, you know, I see that as a really positive move as well for the boat, because, you know, the onboard training's really nice, you know, and I know that when I speak to my stewards and stewardesses, they really enjoy it. And it's like a bit of team building for the day as well. I saw a great training video recently from one of the trainers, and they had all limes on the plates and they were using their silver service skills to try and move them around really quickly. And it looked really fun. And, you know, I think that, you know, that sort of like thing's really important. But yeah, I have seen a few more boats, and it should be really, I think, you know, as I said, taking people on that are trained, or, you know, saying to them, well, if you stay with us for, you know, 6 months a year, or, you know, like as you would do with deck and engineering, as Chloe said, to like offer them, you know, to do courses, I think that's a really nice bonus and incentive as well.
Thank you, Louise. So I would like to open it up to the panel if there is something that you think we should be addressing at this stage in regards to the interior crew and the guest program.
I think, for example, as well, what training schools can bring, especially if a certain boat is using kind of the same training school, maybe year after year, every winter when they go in the shipyard, they try and organize some training on board. So the training crew gets to know this crew really well. And then so therefore they can really tailor the program that they will bring on board, because they tend to kind of assess the personalities of the people in the team. And with that in mind, they can then really, as I said, customize the training towards the team and then deliver a certain service towards the client, the guests. And then the return from the guests is often really, really positive. And we've experienced that with some of our managed yachts, for sure.
Joey, let me ask you, is this something that is a one-off, or is this something that they need to come back for year after year and top up, as it were?
Well, it's interesting because I think because the guest program's been designed in a very progressional way, where you've got an introduction level, so you've got the juniors who either haven't been on a yacht before, or, you know, as Louise was saying, need to be a little bit educated prior to arriving. And I think that's probably one of the most important parts of the program, where you can come into the industry at that level with that knowledge before you even step on board. But the rest of the training, really the advanced levels and the management levels, you know, you can really cherry pick what you want out of that. There's such a broad range of training there. And you know, coming back a little bit to the onboard training, often we find that if there is a training budget, they may not send the stews or the stews and stewardesses over to the training schools. They might bring a trainer on board, as Esther's just mentioned. And often what will happen is the trainer will come on board and they'll just say, no, we just want to learn just silver service, or we just want to learn this for this boat. So they can't actually issue a certificate from the program because they haven't completed the full course, which is a shame for the student, because it means that, okay, they might have learned how to do this on that particular task on that particular vessel, but they haven't learned the whole process, so they can take that to all jobs and apply it to all situations. So it's quite tailored, whereas if it was opened up and said, okay, we actually want you to do the training that's under the program, which has been specifically designed to be flexible, open-minded, ask questions if you don't know, training how to deal with situations, you know, it's all that stuff that Fiona was mentioning before. It's all embedded in there. So that means that A, you can do the job you're being asked to learn for that particular yacht in that environment, but you can do so much more. And as an individual, you can take it to other boats or other career paths. So I think within the program, yes, every year you could do different training, different types of training, from barista to floristry to wine to bartending to leadership to destination management to accounts and budgeting. I mean, there's hundreds of topics that we cover, HR in the management staff, a lot of conflict resolution. We've got a big leadership program there. We've got the PERSA program, which is absolutely full at the moment. And we've even got captains and chief officers during the PERSA program, because so much of the actual occupational roles and responsibilities on board is all covered in that subject. So, you know, there's a huge amount to choose from. So it's not just turn up and we're not teaching you how to fold a napkin. This is massively larger than that. You know, it's huge amount of education involved, and you can cherry pick. It's not, you know, you don't have to do the whole program. It's, you know, you can do what you want to do. So yeah, to follow up from Esther, yes, you know, having somebody coming back every year to retrain, there's leadership as an example. You know, you don't just do one course and then you're a leader. You know, you have to progress. You have to you know, put into practice some of the tools you've been given. It's a progressional learning. You're always learning. And that's the same with all the subjects. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting, because it's like anything in life. And I mean, I'm sure that Brendan could say the same thing. As a captain, you don't stop. You know, it's something that every year there's something more coming up. There's something new to learn. And it doesn't matter what your position is on that boat. There's always going to be something to learn. Brendan, you were talking about the hospitality end of things. Do you find that the interior crew has been trained well enough as far as the personality type of things, how to read people, essentially?
Thank you, Ria. And I'm picking up both on what Fiona mentioned and Emma. Sorry, I'm pointing to where they are on my screen there. That was kind of strange. Yes, one different thing than our non-yachting commercial endeavors, call it a hotel as you will, you deliver an amazingly consistent service. Yachting, charter or private, you deliver an amazing tailored service. And you might have to change that 3 times in a month, depending on the culture or client expectations. So that overrides some of my answer to your question, which I am getting to. Does the interior team have everything? I think we use a lot of pre-stated easy goals in yachting. Ultimate guest experience. I think we're at 7-star luxury. Hold this, put a pin in that. We'll be at 8 in a year. Unparalleled luxury, service excellence. What isn't so well defined as these goals are the tight behaviors, actions, and training to achieve them. It's really hard. And I think it's also interesting that a poorly operating yacht and an excellent yacht will probably have the same goals, but they won't have the same commitment to behaviors, actions, and training. When you're talking about for the human interaction, I've seen too many times it'll be the guest Bible and it'll have photos of the table laid out. Okay, that is a component. But that human interaction is so important. I've got the great privilege, my neighbour, friend and mentor is recently retired Vice President of Four Seasons, and I'm forever learning from him. And he was telling me that, and they're under constant assessment, both known and unknown. The person that is the first greeting to a guest at the vehicle or in the forecourt has 13 measurable touch points, human contact points, before they pass them to reception. They are timed, they are trained on these. There is no photograph on this. And I think that in yachting is an area we really have to work on. What we're all trying to do is give our yacht owners the greatest return on their investment. I actually think the greatest chance to leverage that return of investment is through the crew training. That's the greatest. Our designers and our builders have overachieved. The yachts are just incredible. So we've got a lot of room there to catch up to them and improve ourselves. I think I'm still on topic with your question, Ria. Yes, I think interior crew that have a base level of training to draw upon, that undertake their role with passion and intention, so that everything you do with intention, you know why you're doing it, and have a sensitivity, or back again to draw on Fiona, or have the leadership that helps them gain the sensitivity to that client in that moment, in that week. What is their sensitivity? And how can you adapt your core training to address that? Do they want to have you relaxed, but next week it's a different set of guests and you have to be quite formal and distant, and you have to be able to move across that playing field?
Yeah, which is the exact reason I could never be interior crew. Louise, what is the most common reasons crew don't survive in their interior roles?
There's a few, really. I think the most common, really, especially when the junior coming in the industry, is that they underestimate what they're about to get themselves into. You know, they don't realise the hours, they don't realise the standards, they don't realise even sort of like sometimes the size of the cabin. You know, I've had them turn up with shoeboxes, you know, and all. And it's these little things, which again is why I think, you know, doing that little bit of training first, just, you know, so you are aware of what you're going to just about to get into, really helps. So often I find, you know, I'd say out of the green stewardesses I interview, or stewards at the beginning of each season, about 30% come back at the end and say, oh, that wasn't what I thought it was going to be. That's it, I'm out. And they've paid for their SDCW, you know, they've paid, okay, they've had a season, but it's not what they thought it was going to be. Another reason why we see it is also that if you have a really good leader on board, like you have a great chief steward or purser or interior manager or something, they make the job look really, really easy. So sometimes the more sort of like junior crew will sort of go, oh, well, I want to step up now without having enough background first. So they kind of step up too soon without knowing what's involved because they haven't done the research or haven't understood. And then they go from being the best junior steward to being the most stressed out second steward in, you know, in the whole season. So, you know, that can happen quite often. And I'd say the third one is, and it's a word I hear bandied about quite often, and it's the word toxic. Now, to me, there's a difference between a toxic situation and a highly stressed situation. Because obviously, you know, you can join a boat, everything's fine, the guests come on, and suddenly everything changes. And, you know, feeling that you're being micromanaged isn't really sort of toxic. It's the chief steward, everything, you know, the book falls with the lead. You know, like a chief steward would never turn around and say, oh, it wasn't me, it was her. You know, she's always, it reflects her training and her ability to manage. So she will always protect the team. So, you know, quite often you can, you know, quite a lot of stewards do feel like they're being micromanaged, that they're being bullied. And it is more just normally a high stress environment, really, that's having the impact. So they're the most common three that I see.
Thank you, Louise. Esther, I was going to ask you, what are sort of the downfalls of hiring crew that have absolutely no training whatsoever for the interior?
Well, you know, we kind of have heard all those stories of stewardesses that don't know how to serve wine, that have ruined all the nice clothes and linen on board and all these kind of things. So of course every boat is different and every client has different preferences and everything, but if at least a stewardess has got done some training, she has some basics at least. She kind of knows a little bit, I say a little bit, what to expect. As to someone who has had no training whatsoever about yachting and what yachting life could be, she has no clue, obviously. She comes on board and often as well it happens that in the middle of the season, when somebody leaves the boat, then well, there's no one available except for the green stewardesses who just happen to be there or happen to finish their courses. And middle of July, they're there and they're free and they're the only one. And so they get hired. And unfortunately, because it's the middle of the season, there's not much time for training. So they're actually thrown in the deep end. So if you have someone who at least has done this little bit of training beforehand, she will never be 100% ready, because who is ever 100% ready to step on a new boat? But at least she will have some kind of basic, I think, and that's very important.
So from my understanding, when you get into yachting, there is just a set number of tickets that you need to get onto the boat, whether it be for deckhand or whether it be for stew. And you can literally walk onto a boat and work. Why is it that when it comes to the deck, you need to make sure that you know how to polish or fix a teak deck, or, you know, there's so many things that you really need to know, but for some reason there is a general concept that you won't have a problem walking onto a boat and doing everything that is needed in the interior. It just doesn't, everybody should know that is pretty much a general concept that I've come across. Why is that?
It's interesting, Rhea, because I think at the moment globally we're going through a large transition of equality. And I think in the industry, masculine and feminine roles are a massive part in hierarchy. And I don't know if it draws back on, as a female, you're supposed to be the woman of the house. You're supposed to know all of these domestic roles, that I think that's almost an expectation of these young girls, that join the industry, that they should know how to handle an interior because they are a woman. And I know that's extremely controversial, and like the young guys that join as well, and please stewards and stewardesses. But I think that in terms of having that expectation on anyone, what gender you are, is belittling. And I think that it's an important part of a yacht structure to treat, whether it be deck, engineering, interior, the members of the team, also in different levels of which they're starting in. It doesn't matter if they're the greenest or they've been in the industry for 3 years, to give them that introduction to the boat, to make sure that they know exactly where they're going, what they're doing, so that they feel empowered in their job. And I think through training, through the guest programs, and referring back to Esther and also to Brendan, it needs to be muscle memory. Your training needs to just be almost instinct, so that you can deal with the human factor of it so much more easily, and it's effortless because you're not having to focus on, you know, okay, I'm holding the tray in my right hand. You're focusing on the person, and that's what really creates that kind of wow factor in guest experience.
Thank you, Emma.
I do think, I also believe that, I think the interior department has been very left behind, but I think, you know, this comes back to our culture, and we were talking about that earlier, is how you change the onboard culture, you know, with various different things that the industry has, and you know, we've essentially matured a lot over the last decade or two, but you know, we sort of came from a sort of make it up as you go along industry, I think, in the early days. And you know, many of us here have been in the industry 30 plus years, so we've seen that happen and seen how it's grown. But for some reason it just feels like the interior department has been left behind in all of this, and you know, perhaps Emma's right, maybe it started like that because of a gender issue, maybe it still is because of that, but you know, I think my biggest question to the industry is, is why aren't you demanding training for the departments that, you know, critical to the industry? It is, in my opinion, the front line to everything that we all do. You know, if the interior aren't getting it right and the experience isn't what the owner or the guests want, then surely the whole show is a failure. Surely we failed in all this excellence and, you know, all the glitter and gold we're throwing all over everything. What's the point if the experience isn't actually what their expectations aren't being met as a guest or an owner? So the responsibility of the interior crew is absolutely enormous. And I've spoken to a lot of interior crew over the years, as you can imagine. And you know, I think the biggest thing, and you know, again, picking up on what Emma and Louise has said, it's that empowerment, it's that feeling of not really knowing, you know, if you don't know your job well enough, or you think other people around you haven't got the confidence in you, it is a very different person that's out there doing the job. Whereas somebody that's trained, that has that confidence, you know, you have so much more to give. You're coming from the inside. There's a passion there. There's a you know, a fulfillment in your role. And I think every crew member on board should experience that. Everybody should be given that empowerment. And, you know, that empowerment comes from not just mentoring and not just the job you get, just the pay packet. It also comes from the value of the training you're receiving and actually being that training being recognized as something that has a vital role for the onboard experience for everybody. Yeah. I think Fiona, you were asking something.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with what you just said, Joey, and with Emma's point. And something that we haven't really touched on yet is transferable skills. Mm-hmm. And I sincerely believe that if you train people with skills that they couldn't acquire anywhere else, that make them feel valued, that give them a sense of self-worth, that are interesting and keep them engaged, they can then look to the future and possibly say to themselves, well, at least, you know, maybe cleaning toilets and folding napkins now, but these skills that I'm learning, that I'm being trained in, are going to allow me to grow as a person. And if one day I want to change my environment and I want to go to a different industry, I have something of tangible value to take with me, as well as the sense of confidence and self-assurance that you gain from being properly trained and having, as Emma said, that muscle memory and as Brendan said, that basic training that you can, or that it just, it's an, it becomes your instinct and it never leaves you. So I think the idea of allowing interior crew to develop transferable skills is really a very important part of not just in here and now and delivering an experience for our guests that is memorable, but also for the future, for the long-term career of these people that we're training.
Yeah. Yeah. Brendan, you had a hand up as well.
Yeah. Look, I've just got the three of you, the last three speaking, all just brilliant. The reason I think I'm on this call, Joey, is I mentioned my 15-year-old daughter to you. Yes. My daughter is in a tourism school. They run the school like a hotel. They serve each other for dinner. They work in the kitchen. That's 5 years. The hotels snoop around this school, the good hotels. If you're getting good grades, they're getting picked. Where are we? Why aren't we in there? We is the yachting we. Now, Joey, I do know that you... approaching schools. So we are going to train people. We're going to mold them into our yacht environment. But let's get the best of the best from the start. I think this is an amazing career. I've loved, let's not say every day, that'd be a bit silly, but let's just say I'm so passionate about what this career can deliver. How do we raise it? We get the best of the best. Other industries know this. To the chagrin of science, banking has pulled some of the best minds from science for 30 years. Why don't we start pulling some of the best people in hospitality before they've heard of yachting? Tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, this, why aren't we at the trade fairs, at the school fairs, saying, this is, if you've got talent, and make it really competitive. Our messaging has to be in the wider media, not to each other in yachting, in the wider media, this is competitive. if you want to come in here, you need to be good before you get here. Then we'll bring you up. And Louise, and I don't know if there is an excuse now to not induct someone really well. These are really good, these phones. And people should be getting, and COVID has been really developmental. We're on a video call that we might not have been on a year ago.
Okay.
So the video interview, I remember doing these a few years ago and it felt really awkward. One firm that I was representing was asking people to do video interviews. I went, oh, this is so hard. Now it's normal. We do it every day. So our interview now is a walk through the vessel. We've got privacy issues. That's okay. But a cabin is a cabin. I like to feel my environment. Does it feel right? So we need to start doing this. And if you think of crew lifetime value, there is a point when they begin that first day on board, they're actually not returning value. You're carrying them. Of course you are. None of us return value on our first day. Our goal is actually to get someone up that value curve as fast as possible. The only way to do that is 3 months before they joined. Let's say 3 weeks. It is yachting after all. What are we doing in pre-joining? Are we recruiting on skills, or are we recruiting on values and attributes and how to fit a culture? Might be someone from recruitment to grab there. But if we're recruiting on skills alone, it's not going to, when the pressure comes on, as I'm not sure, Esther, I think it might have been you that mentioned, when the pressure comes on, if we all have different values and attributes, we're just going to splinter. So we need to start thinking, if you ask a crew when they join, what are you hoping to achieve in this role? And they'll give you an amazing statement. Let's hold both parties accountable and write that down and come back to it. I think we've never been better, never better. But some things we can still do better. I still think, given how wonderful our workplace and the amount our yacht owners invest, that we should be poaching the best before they even know where yachting is. Just a thought.
I do agree with you on that, Brendan. And I did research some of these schools, like the similar one to your daughter going on, to try and recruit people. I know that Hill Robinson also did with the same thing, and so did YPI. I think, you know, there has been a lot of reach out through the industry to some of these places. I think the biggest observation I have is that we're trying to recruit the best, the people that shine in these schools, because we know that they will perform in the right way and in the right environment on board for the expectation of the owner. So that will tick that box. But what environment are we bringing them into? Are we bringing them into an environment where they're not valued like the rest of the departments, where there's less appreciation for the qualifications they hold? You know, if you're a deckhand going up to OW, there's a pay rise, there's a rank increase, there's a reward at the end of it. So the interior, if you've done training, you could be beaten by someone that's never stepped from the yacht before because they look good. You know, and I we're still in that particular department. I still believe we're still in that sort of 80s, 90s attitude for it. So yes, let's bring these wonderful people in, but it could be embarrassing for us by doing so. You know, that's how I still feel about it. I don't know if anyone thinks the same. I don't know.
Joey, I think that will be our dip, and we will dip, but it'll take us higher in the end. And just, Emma, it isn't the fact that we're talking about diversity and inclusion is a 1987 conversation, but we still need to have it.
Yeah. I mean, how does that work, Fiona, for you with the charter side? I mean, you've seen so many yachts over the years and the interior crew, and spoken to a lot, I know, because we've been to a lot of shows together over the years. So, you know, how do you think us bringing crew from those environments, these high-end schools that have this amazing training, which is very respected, and you know, we are speaking to the schools as well at the moment and looking at transferability of training from guests is entry level into some of them, and that's been well received. But what do you think about how those kind of individuals would fare?
I think it's an excellent idea, as long as expectations are managed, because that goes back to something that Louise was saying, and it's a conversation that Brendan and I have had in another forum about expectations of crew coming in from a non-yachting world, about having to share a tiny cabin, Whereas if they were working in a hotel, they would have either they would go home or they would have a proper room. The hours that they have to work, and they're not going home and seeing your family for months on end. And so it has to, otherwise we will come a cropper. We'll get all these wonderfully trained people with, you know, amazing potential, and they don't stick around because they haven't yet. They just don't know what to expect, and it's disappointing for them.
Yeah, we spoke to La Roche in Switzerland, at the school there. I think I pronounced it correctly. And we were looking at working with them on some qualifications, and they've accepted the guest program at advanced level with the training record book too, which is an onboard mentoring, encouraging, similar to the OOW training record book. So with that completed it evidence onboard experience as well. And they've accepted that as sort of entry level to a couple of their degree programs, which is really interesting. But vice versa, we've also said those coming from their school who want to work in our industry, you know, we would provide them with the introduction to yachting course, which is a junior 3-day course, which is part of the 5-day introduction program, because that does do exactly that, Fiona. It covers life on board, etiquette, culture, forms of address, what to expect, you know, dealing with drugs and lifestyle and you know, self health, physical wellness, mental wellness. You know, it's dealing with all the things that even down to sort of CV writing and who the crew agencies are and practices in the industry and what to expect on board. So that's all covered in that, albeit at an introduction level, but we figured that would be the best way to introduce them into it. So we have had that conversation, but you're absolutely right. I think the environment from coming to what they're being trained to do is the same as Brendan's, you know, daughter. You know, the training environment in the schools there don't cater for what you might expect on a yacht, which is very different. It is an incredibly different platform and lifestyle to have to come into, for sure.
I think there's probably a lot of things in the yachting industry still to this day that need to be addressed that wouldn't happen on land, as it were. But it is an amazing industry for sure. You know, the one thing that I wanted to ask you, Joey, we and also Fiona touched on it too, was that the skills that they learn in the guest program, those are transferable to shore. What are they, and how will they showcase them when, you know, the interior crew decide that they're done with yachting and they actually want to move ashore?
Well, I think the amount of skill sets that you can learn, plus evidence and you know, gain experience from, so you're building on those skill sets from your experience on working on board. You know, transitioning ashore, I mean, goodness, there are so many environments you could go into. We already see that with a lot of the trainers actually have come from the industry. You know, they've done some formal trainings. A lot of them have done hospitality management. They've done through the guest program. They've worked on board, come ashore, and they want to be trainers. So, I mean, even that small, you know, coming into that from ship to shore, if you like, that's giving them something. But my goodness, there's lots. You know, realistically, most of the chief stewards, I mean, Emma could probably step off the yacht and quite happily run a hotel and understand exactly most of what would be needed with a bit of a learning curve, but you'd understand the principles behind it. But there's not much recognition there. And that's something that IAMI are working on at the moment, is to try and put in place more opportunities for transferability of recognising the guest programme and the experience gained in the industry. And we have the PERSA course. And as I said earlier, you know, we have a lot of captains and chief engineers signed up on these courses. We have 3 training providers that offer this. It's 180 hours of training. It covers everything from maritime organisation, finance, budgets, port clearances. I mean, it's the whole thing. Destination management, which is huge. You know, there's a lot in there. And we're finding actually that perhaps that the subjects and topics taught in that course would actually suit very much a yacht manager ashore, even the DPA for some of it. So there's huge amount of content in that training that's actually very relevant to other areas in the industry and other land-based jobs in the industry. So I think, you know, there's a huge amount of and even just personal life skills. I mean, goodness, so many people that have worked in the industry go ashore and say, you know, they have the best dinner parties, I tell you. It's, you know, they know how to put it on. I think it's just also you're gaining something for yourself as well. It's not just, and you and your family, it's not just for occupational purposes that you gain so much. Yeah.
Well, you know what, this is really interesting that when somebody, for example, a junior crew, if, for example, they are watching this webinar and they say, you know what, I really do want to take a course, can they take it online? And as well, I mean, you have classes all over the world, or you have schools all over the world that offer your courses.
Yeah, yeah. And it's all blended learning. You can do, some of it is all online. Some of it is blended where you have to do some practical workshop. And practical assessment. So yes, every one of the courses has got a slightly different way of operating it. Each training provider has different learning platforms, so whichever suits you best, as much as the location. So yeah, I mean, it is quite, it's a pick and mix, whatever you want to do and however you want to do it.
Well, you know what, I think it's amazing, and it's definitely something that interior crews should take a look at doing, because you know, we've heard from the experts on this panel here today that once you have taken this course or through the guest program, that you ultimately become more employable, and it takes you straight through until after your yachting days as well.
Yes, it does. But I think as importantly as those wanting to sign up and doing the training, and they get a huge amount of support. The training providers, you know, we work together very closely. Between us, we probably meet at least once a week. In various work groups and development groups and review groups, everything's reviewed constantly and updated constantly, just to keep on trend and make sure we're teaching, you know, what people need to know today, not last year. And so it's vital, and it's a very close-knit group of people, and they will support the students wholly, you know, right through their careers. You know, I know many of the trainers, and they've literally seen their students all the way through. I'm sure, Emma, with the experience you had with the school you went to, you've been mentored and you've had messages, and you know, I think the training providers like to keep in touch with their students, so that there is a lot of that support there. But actually, I think from the other side of it, and I said this earlier, I think we need the industry to recognize the value of the interior crew, you know, regardless of how they're being trained, whether it's guest, whether it's in a high-end school ashore, you know, wherever it is. I think we need to recognize more the value of the interior department, and what that brings to the yacht and the industry in general. And I think there needs to be more recognition for that. And those that do invest in themselves, that actually go out of their way for CPD, bearing in mind it's not mandatory, it should be an industry requirement that the interior crew are investing in their own self-development for the sake of the job, for the sake of the yacht, the owner, the expectations, and their own empowerment. I think that's really important.
Well, thank you, Joey. And, you know, I agree, you know, after listening to everybody here today as well, you know, it is very, very important to invest in your interior crew, because as Brendan said, you know, who do you remember when you go on an airplane? You know, you remember that person that greeted you when you walked onto the airplane, the person that said goodbye when you left. And it's the same as a yacht. The first person that you see and the person that you interact with the most are the interior crew. So investing in them will definitely make the experience a heck of a lot better. So I want to say thank you to everybody, unless somebody else has anything more to add.
Actually, Ria, could we just talk for a second about how to get the word out?
Yes.
I would just like to raise Delia Smith for a moment, the British cook, TV chef. She, in the 1990s, she wrote a series of cookbooks, and every single one of them used coriander as a major ingredient. And in the UK at the time, you couldn't get coriander. But as a result of everybody being enamoured of her books and wanting to make her recipes, all the supermarkets in the UK started stocking coriander, and nobody's ever looked back. And I think that's what we need to do with guest. We need to ask for it. So I think charter brokers have got a very big role. I think that we should be saying, when we're at a boat show, talking to the chief stewardess, talking to the captain, whatever, ask. Do you know about the guest program? Are you enrolled in the guest program? And just get the words out there so that they become so familiar that they become a reflex. So I think charter brokers have definitely got a role to play. We can ask for it, and we can perhaps demand it. Certainly on the much bigger boats where they've got large numbers of interior crew, I think it's even more important perhaps at that level. But anyway, across the board, let's ask for it.
Thank you, Fiona. Yes, exactly. What do you think about that, recruiters?
tend to agree, and also probably when, I don't know, when you advertise charter boats, maybe have something there, guest accredited or something when you send out the crew profiles to the clients, so that it does say they have gone through this guest training program, etc. for charter boats, for example. Definitely, completely agree.
Yeah, for sure.
I think there's also one thing we could add, and that it maintains the safety and security on board, because if your junior crew are trained and they do know how to read a label, or they do know how to read different types of products in the laundry room, I think that that's also something that needs to be brought up. There is a safety and security aspect to minimum training on board.
So we do actually embedded within the whole program from top to bottom to how you store ice and handle glassware to reading labels and working, you know, dealing with chemicals and cleaning products. You know, the health and safety is absolutely embedded right through the program. So it is part of the language in the training. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, brilliant. Thank you.
I think, you know, what I think is it's just easy to say. The fact is that interior crew need to take the guest program, because it is imperative in order for them to do their job from the very beginning, right up until, you know, as you said, even the yacht purser's captains and engineers are taking the yacht purser courses. And it's very important training. Well, I want to say thank you to everybody for attending. What an absolutely amazing panel it has been. And you have given us a lot to think about. I feel much more educated. So I'm sure those that are watching also feel much more educated. I'd like to say thank you to Louise Overend, Interior Department for YPI Crew. Thank you, Louise.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
And Chloe Collette, Captain's Department for YPI Crew. Thank you, Chloe.
Thank you for inviting me.
And Brendan O'Shaughnessy, Captain. Thank you for joining us, Brendan.
As always, Ria, thank you.
Of course, Fiona Mauricio, I'm probably saying that wrong, I'm sorry. Senior Charter Broker for Northrop & Johnson.
My pleasure, thank you for inviting me.
Esther Delamar, Senior Recruitment Manager for Hill Robinson, thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, Joey, for still pushing this. And I know I've been very supportive since the beginning, so yeah, still continues to be.
Thank you.
And of course, Emma, Interior Crew Chief Stewardess, thank you so much for your bits of wisdom.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Thank you, Joey.
And of course, last but not least, we have Joey. She is the director of the guest program. We thank you ever so much for organizing this amazing webinar and enabling Interior Crew to have a chance and to get an education that's going to help their careers further on and once they decide that they want to go ashore.
Oh, thank you very much. And I really appreciate everybody making the effort today and all the ongoing support for many years from some of you for the program. And I just wish the interior crew of the future the best, because they deserve it and the industry deserves it. So thank you.
Once again, you've been watching the webinar, The Impact of Employing Guest-Trained Interior Crew in the Industry. My name is Ria. I have been your host. We'll see you again.